Jy is ingeskakel op Understanding Autism op 100.5 FM en by ons in die ateljee vandag is Emma Bailey, 'n behavioral therapist from Guiding Growth on the Spectrum. Baie welkom hier by ons.
Thank you.
What is a behavioral therapist?
A behavioral therapist is someone that understands and sees or observes behaviors and then modifies problematic behaviors so that the child can better function in society.
Now, you opened Guiding Growth, was it 3 months ago?
Yeah, it was around about May, yeah.
And it is aimed specifically at children on the spectrum?
Yes.
Why?
Because I found myself in many different special needs schools, and I really found that my passion lied within autism. And I think that kids on the spectrum are incredibly interesting and really intelligent. And if you tap into the right pathway, you can see amazing progress.
Are you a born Lowfelder?
Yes.
So the schools you speak of, were they mainly around here?
No, I studied in Pretoria, so I worked there and volunteered at a few schools.
What made you make the change to come back to the Lowveld and then start this?
Well, primarily my boyfriend, now husband, was in the Lowveld. But I also found that there was a gap in the Lowveld for kids on the spectrum.
Right. So how do Guiding Growth aim to fill that gap? What do you do?
We start off by assessing the kid, and within the assessment, we can see what gaps the kid has not filled. And from there on, we can fill those gaps by teaching them the different skills.
What skills are we talking about?
It's very broad. It starts with communication, social skills, potty training, functional living skills, pre-academic.
As a parent, what signs should I be looking for to know that there's a gap here that needs to be fixed? And then before I contact you?
I think mainly communication. If your child is behind on developing their communication, I think that's a main sign of when you should contact me.
Are we talking about speech?
Yeah.
So what kind of therapies do you do to bridge the gap, say, if I have a nonverbal child?
Well, I focus on where the child's basic skills are. So if they have eye contact, we can start with communicating through eye contact. If they have gestures or they can copy my actions, then we could implement something like sign language. And if they do have some sort of vocal repertoire, then we can go from there and try develop it into basic sounds and then words and then sentences.
So a therapy session with you, what does it entail?
It's different for every kid because the therapy is completely individualized for each kid, but a kid without any vocal repertoire, we would start with just pointing to different things and then they get it, and then maybe develop that into they need to make a sound to get something, and then further that into they need to say the word to get the objects.
And I imagine it's very age specific as well.
Sorry, let me just put that over.
Is it very age specific, and how young can you help a patient?
It's not very age specific, but the younger they are, the easier they learn, or the faster they learn, because as people say, little kids their brains are like sponges. But yeah, I don't really have an age cap because I believe that I can help a kid of any age.
If a child pitches at your door, how do you do your initial assessment and what does that entail?
I think I would start by just like pairing with them and getting to know them, get to know what they like, sort of make the center or the therapy room reinforcing for them so that they would want to come back, or they see it as a positive place as opposed to something negative or pushy. And then from there, I would start doing the assessments, either quite slowly if they're a bit adverse to it, or if they're very like into things, we can run through the program quite fast.
You also do it one-on-one. Is that significant?
I have worked in schools where it's a group therapy, and although that is very beneficial as well, I find that I really enjoy the one-on-one intense therapy. And I think that with the kids on the spectrum, because they're so far behind compared to other kids, in order for them to catch up, we really need to almost like fast track their therapy or their learning. And so I feel like one-on-one is a much better dynamic in that sense.
And in a group setting, all the children are not the same. So the therapy will not be tailor-made for each individual's
needs. Exactly, yeah, not as individualized.
So you do communication, also social skills. Tell us a bit more about that.
So I think it starts with probably potty training. And a lot of the schools don't like take on kids that are not potty trained. So a lot of parents will come to me and say, please, we just need my kids to be potty trained in order for them to get into a school. And then from there, if their communication repertoire is good, then we can start with like personal questions. So what's your name and where are you from and how old are you? And then just sort of start conversing with the kid and teaching them how to interact with other people.
And with a non-communicative child, how do you handle that?
I think probably play skills. So just integrating different types of play and teaching them how to play with other kids, because a lot of kids on the spectrum would rather play by themselves than with other kids. But as soon as you teach them how to play with other kids or how to play with different objects, then that sort of opens up a lot of social skills for them.
What I've heard from parents with children on the spectrum is that they find their children often really long to make a connection with a friend, but they really just don't know how.
Yeah, that's very true.
So your play therapies, do you invent it or is there play therapy school?
I think I sort of just create it as I go. Again, sort of just observe what the kid enjoys and what they are drawn to, and then teach them from there and actually just get on the floor and play with them and teach them how to play with the different toys.
Is there a difference between children? Would you have a different way of handling one child to the next?
100%, yeah. The spectrum is called the spectrum for that reason. They are so different.
Do you see them every day to play catch up?
Well, yeah, it depends on what the kid needs, first of all, and also obviously what the parents can afford. But most of the kids, I'd say, I see at least 3 times a week for an hour at a time.
What challenging behaviors have you had from autistic children in the past, and how would you handle them?
I think probably the biggest one is aggression, because although you can handle it when they're younger, when they do get older and bigger and stronger than you, then it becomes really difficult. So just teaching them how to, again, communicate what they want or what they need, because often they engage in a problematic behavior because they can't communicate something. So going back to the communication to teach them how to communicate and tell us what they want or need instead of engaging in the problematic behavior.
It's like a 2-year-old throwing a tantrum. It's
exactly.
Literal frustration.
Yeah.
You also offer pre-academic skills.
So those would probably start off with like scribbling, as basic as that, and then start coloring in, start doing fine motor exercises to write and start reading, start like deciphering from letters and numbers.
You have been to a couple of schools meant for disabled children. Do you think that is the correct place for a child on the autism spectrum?
Yes, I think that the two don't always suit. I wouldn't say they can't. Maybe they can, but I don't think that the two suit well, because the one kid has a challenge mentally and the other kid has a challenge physically.
And it's also a different kind of challenge. They have, correct me, the capacity to, they're never going to be neurotypical, but they can be very high-functioning individuals.
Yeah. 100%. And they also need different things. I mean, with their different challenges, they definitely need completely different things.
The Bella Law that is about to be accepted by Parliament, one of the things that is included in that law is that schools now have to cater for all different need children as well as physical disabilities. And our normal schools will have to adapt and bring in, and they can't not accept children like that. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that these kids, like in an ideal world, they could come together and be in the same school. But I do believe that they all need very intense therapy before, or some intervention beforehand, so that they're all sort of on the same playing level. I mean, like, if you're having different grades for different ages, then why would you put all different disabilities or disorders together as well?
My biggest concern with this is the department will most probably not bring in specialist teachers. So they're probably going to say, Juffrou Sunny, jy moet nou hierdie kinders ook help. And she's never dealt with autistic children in her life. And I'm worried about how that will affect the children, because there won't be the resources or the experience
that they need. Yeah, that's so true. And I think as much as the, say, a kid on the spectrum is going to fall behind because the teacher's not experienced or doesn't have the expertise, I think that the main or the neurotypical kids are also going to fall behind because the kid on the spectrum is taking up 10 minutes of the class just to get into the class and sit down properly. So I think that there's going to be a lot of challenges if that does come into action.
You said that the earlier you intervene to try and close the gaps in the levels of a child on the spectrum, the better the results are. Is it possible that if you put them in a environment that you can actually make it worse?
I wouldn't say worse, but I would say that if they're not in the right environment, they're just going to fall further and further behind as the other kids progress. So, yeah, it would be detrimental.
Do you have any advice for parents with children who's very sensitive, as in,
like, sensory integration issues?
Yes. It's not a behavioral issue. Do you have any therapy advice for instance, a child who refuses to wear clothes?
I think that obviously if it's too adverse or uncomfortable for the child, you need to sort of make different arrangements. But something like clothing, I mean, it's socially very appropriate to wear clothes. And as they grow older, they're going to need to. So my advice would be starting small. So start with just undies on and leave them on for 5 minutes and then take them off and let the kid go and do their favorite thing. And then the next time, try push it to 10 minutes and then slowly but surely just add clothing and add time to that sort of intervention.
How important is it to collaborate with parents and caregivers when you work with autistic children?
Extremely, extremely important. I think what I learned from a lot of the centers or schools that I worked at was that there was a lack of communication with the parents. And I'm not just meaning over the phone. I meaning sit down and meet with the parents, understand what they want for their kids, what they don't want for their kids, and also voice your opinion of what you aim or goals are for the kid, and sort of meet halfway and just also let them understand what you're doing so that they can implement it at home and the kid is just going to progress so much better if there is that teamwork.
So you involve them, you get them into the therapy with you?
100%, yeah. Show them what I do, tell them what I do, and really encourage them to do it at home as well.
Do you sometimes get parents that are extremely well-meaning and they really try hard, but they make mistakes?
Yes, 100%. But I guess that's where the communication comes in as well. It's just, if they are making a mistake, hear from them what they're doing. If it's not working at home, let them run through what they're doing and try and help them or find the problem that they're missing.
Liddy made a comment before we started that he finds that even, you know, people who's not on the spectrum also cannot communicate. Do you find your parents learn some skills too?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, and I think as long as my communication is up there, then there starts to, you know, some parents aren't good on their phones, but as time goes, I think both me and the parents learn that the communication is really vital.
What do parents need to know about the pace of progress? You said slowly but surely. What is slowly?
Well, I think depending on where the child is at and how much they can cope with. I mean, some kids, you can go really fast-paced, but other kids, you know, you need to integrate something that's adverse to them very slowly. But with saying that, I think slowly but surely is good, but also often is good as well. So between those two, you're creating sort of a medium pace or fast pace. So if you do little things often, it's going to make a big difference.
How do you monitor the progress a child makes?
So I take data on sort of their scores or what they're getting right and what they aren't. And then I also analyze and take data on their behavior. So whether a problematic behavior of tantruming is decreasing, then I know that the intervention is working. And if it's not and it's staying the same, then I need to step in and do something else or try something different.
In a previous episode, we spoke about the different levels you get of on the spectrum. How does that manifest in practice?
So I don't know if I see it as levels. I think that the spectrum is very vast, and within the spectrum, there's all these different sort of categories or domains to a human being and their development. And all of those domains are also different throughout the spectrum. So I don't really see it as levels. I think I see it more as like a holistic spectrum, up and down and side to side.
Really, really individualed.
Yeah.
Individualized.
Yeah. Really. I mean, a kid can be super intelligent in maths, to say, but they can't communicate. So you think that they can't do maths until you find a way for them to communicate, and then you realize that they're actually brilliant in that one domain or two or three different domains.
What would you tell parents who are unsure whether they should reach out?
I would say nothing is nothing lost. So reach out and meet up, connect with different people and discuss it and see where or what we can do with the kid, as opposed to sitting back and thinking that it's not going to work.
Ons gesels met Emma Bailey, 'n gedragsterapeut by Guiding Growth on the Spectrum. Thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.